Vanishing Point presents the second play in the four-part dramatic series by Rachel Wyatt. Escape Routes, Chronicles of the Ordinary and the Not-So-Ordinary. Tonight's episode, Everything She Wants.
Escape. Most people want to escape sometime in their lives, but a few, like Steve, are running away all the time. If you've ever seen one of those chases in an old movie where the runner keeps throwing blocks in the path of his pursuer, then you'll have some idea of why Steve kept buying all those gifts for Lisa.
This is for you, Lisa.
Oh!
It was his way of never having to say, I love you.
Oh, it's lovely, Steve. What is it?
It's a twin-bladed, rotating, stainless steel, electrically powered carving knife.
Oh, well. Thank you, Steve. You don't have to bring me all these gifts, you know.
It'll save you a lot of trouble carving. Cuts through anything.
I'm a vegetarian, Steve.
You can say what you like, Jan, but I never went along with the martyr theory myself. It wasn't as if Lisa was some goddess he was trying to placate or anything.
She was lovely then. Those eyes. That hair.
And a good light with her makeup on, sure.
I went to see her last week.
Isn't that kind of a morbid thing to do? And why didn't you tell me? I'd have gone along.
I didn't plan to go. I just set off and went.
How did she look? What did she say?
She looked awful. She tried to cheer me up. Said it wasn't so bad.
No. Oh, no. You're not going to tell me she's meeting some really nice people.
So you see, number 14 Mackenzie Lane is for sale again. Three times in the past year. I don't believe in ghosts myself. But the new occupants will listen to gossip. Then they begin to hear things. A scream. A metallic whirring sound. Blood dripping. And they move. Well, you would, wouldn't you?
I was never a violent person. My mother used to say to me, get mad once in a while, Lisa, eh? She told me you shouldn't get even, you should get mad, right there and then. But I've always been slow to react.
Mackenzie Lane is one of those little streets that the builders managed to squeeze in between two others. There are 10 narrow houses on each side, and the trees that were planted 40 years ago are big and shady now. It's a quiet street, doesn't go anywhere. That's why Lisa loved it, and why she persuaded Steve to move in with her and Lars, her son. Steve would have preferred a new home, a new start. Not a place where he could kind of see the footprints of her former old man. But he was busy, his export business was thriving, and he hadn't time to go house hunting.
Don't turn around yet.
Steve, what is it?
A minute. Now then, look. Surprise!
Oh, I am surprised. Oh, Steve, where did you find it?
Do you like it, Lisa?
It's beautiful. It must have cost the earth.
Well, I was passing this showroom, and the guy was in there. He makes them out of old tree roots.
Oh, I've never seen anything like it.
For a businessman, Steve was, shall we say, naive when he went shopping. If something was expensive, he just knew it was good. I'd say he got ripped off time after time. Mind you, he was buying in a hurry, and his gifts were mainly peace offerings.
We used to argue a lot about Lars. Steve wasn't used to kids. There were things he didn't understand. But he was very generous. He loved giving me things.
I got my wife one of those Tunisian rugs. Pale blue, gray, pink. A masterpiece of colored history, the guy said.
Honey, look. I brought you one of those rugs you saw in the store window. Hand-woven, every thread knotted together by an ancient craftsman in Hammamet.
Oh, honey, it is magnificent. It's a real treasure. It's priceless. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And what do you think she did with it? She put it on the floor. On the dining room floor where that kid of hers could spill ketchup on it and where people would walk on it. I mean, it was meant to be hung on the wall. Admired, you know? I was kind of disappointed, but I figured when I've really made the house over, she'll learn to appreciate all this stuff.
There's Steve, looking in the window of that gallery. He doesn't know a lot about art, but he likes a picture to have color and life and an imposing frame. Uh-oh. He's moving on to the native art place. He could really get in trouble there. On he goes. Leather. Now, he really likes leather. He saw this elephant on one of his trips that opened up into a cocktail cabinet.
Excuse me. I'm looking for a gift for my wife. Do you happen to have a leather elephant that opens up?
How about this rhino hide footstool sewing box combo?
Steve won't go for that. But he'll hunt around till he finds something. He's in one of his shopping moods. He grew up in a spending atmosphere. There was money in his family, but not a lot of sensitivity. Now he's found the bathroom shop. This might be it. A bathtub in Carrara marble, maybe, with gold taps. See, when he was a kid, if he annoyed his mother, he bought her a present. She would smile and say thank you, and all was forgiven.
These gold-plated towel rails, sir? Silk his and hers bathrobes?
I'm looking for something she'll really go for. We haven't spoken to each other for a week.
I have just the thing. One-of-a-kind, molded pink fiberglass, self-heating.
Steve had accidentally driven over the kid's bike and ruined it. And he and Lisa had quarreled about whose fault it was.
Just the thing for you, sir.
Come on upstairs, girls. I've got something to show you.
Are we ready for this?
What's he brought you this time, Lisa?
You're going to be the first to use it.
In the bathroom.
Oh, an electric toothbrush.
Ooh. Oh, jacuzzi!
Lisa!
Whatever next?
Come on, take your clothes off and get in.
Oh, look, she's got coffee all set out.
Well, you're my friend.
I'm going to be first in.
Oh, it's sure nice of you to share it with us, Lisa.
Oh, come on in, Eddie. Oh.
If my army ever bought me a gift like this, I'd want to know what he was up to.
And this coffee, Lisa. How did you make it?
Oh.
The espresso maker was a little something Steve picked up on his way home the day after he'd yelled at Lisa for overcooking his steak. That fight had ended up with both of them going to bed hungry.
Mackenzie Lane will never be the same.
We all hang out of our windows wondering what the delivery van will bring you next.
You must be very happy, Lisa.
Of course I am. Who wouldn't be?
Happy? As she polished the silverware and brushed the Tunisian rug with care and used special cleansing powder on the jacuzzi, Lisa couldn't help wondering if this was what life was all about.
I had never done a violent thing in my life. Not physically violent. You know, I had to slap Lars once or twice to keep his hands off things in the supermarket, you know. But that's what kids are like. You've got to teach them not to take things off the shelves. He said, Lars did, that our home was beginning to look like a store. But All the same, I noticed when he brought his friends around to play that he showed them the new stereo, combined VCR and CD player, and the walk-in freezer. He was proud of it all in a kid's show-off way. And he got kind of excited when something else that Steve had bought turned up at the door.
Where's Lars?
Baseball practice.
Oh, great. Then I can get this set up before he comes back.
Oh, Steve, I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, I bet there isn't another kid on the street with a remote control road set like this.
You spoil him, Steve. You spoil us both.
Maybe the kid will talk to me once in a while.
It's as if you're trying to bribe him, Steve.
That's dumb, Lisa. That's a truly dumb thing to say.
Oh.
I see something the kid might like. I pay 400 bucks for it because I want him
to... You want him to like you. You should go and watch his game.
You're simple, Lisa. You know that?
I don't want Lars to grow up expecting gifts all the time.
I don't want him to grow up mean.
He's my son.
I pay the mortgage.
We'll move out.
Go right ahead. Just leave that rug behind and the jacuzzi and...
You see? You see? It's all things with you.
I don't see you sending those things back.
I will, first thing in the morning.
Oh, I came home happy.
Oh,
I brought this fantastic toy for the kid.
Oh,
Lisa.
Oh.
Come back, Lisa.
That can't be another delivery truck at number 14.
Can and is.
Oh, I wonder what he's bought her this time.
And why?
Where do you think he gets all his money?
I heard from a guy at work. Now, you mustn't repeat this to anyone. That Steve has connections.
You're kidding!
Now, it could also be that he's in on the software bandwagon.
Oh, I like your other story better.
I bought my wife one of these super deluxe combined washer dryers with a computerized control panel, a self-filling attachment, and a limited damage factor. Well, you put silk in with, say, cotton. It stops, and this light comes on.
Come over here, honey, and look. See, if you mix my shirts with the kid's jeans, I know that was a mistake, hon, but those shirts cost me $100 a throw, right?
There was nothing wrong with my old machine.
That was obsolete. Dead. 10 years out of date the day you got it.
I liked it.
Oh, you'll like this. It'll save you a lot of hassle.
Come on. What? What?
But nothing's foolproof, is it? Next thing I know, there's water all over the basement floor. She's in tears, my shirts are ruined, and I'm stuck with a repair bill for $409.
Come in, Lisa. I'm just on my way to work, but you can sit a while if you want to. Is something wrong?
No, no, everything's fine.
You've been crying.
Oh, yeah, it's just a little argument, you know.
Sure. Come on. Look, I've time for a quick coffee. You tell me all about it.
Oh, everybody quarrels, don't they, in their first year or so?
Oh, I used to throw things at Harv.
Oh, I'll be okay. Thanks, Evie.
Come back this evening and we'll have a long talk.
Steve was beginning to suffer from doubts as well, but a little shopping trip usually cured him. Most evenings, he settled down beside Lisa, happy enough in his Naugahyde automatic reclining lounger, and with so much recorded on the VCR, they didn't have to talk.
Sure, we had problems. Me moving into the house, for one. Me trying to get the kid to acknowledge me as a living person. It was the little things that set off the big fights we had.
I wasn't going to mention this, honey, but when you ironed this shirt...
It's a nothing shirt. Why don't you get some with stripes, or at least a color?
So maybe I like to look ordinary? Not like you when you turned up at the office yesterday. You look like you were auditioning for the Santa Claus parade.
I bought that outfit specially.
I could see a couple of the guys smiling.
Well, it's what everybody's wearing.
Not the girls in the office.
Go out with them, then!
I do!
What?
Lunchtime. Now, what do you think I do at lunchtime?
Get out of my house! Go on!
So, they had the appearance of being a normal, happily married couple. When Steve set out to work in the mornings, Lisa waved to him. He waved back. The grass was beginning to grow again over the place where he'd driven out in a rage one day and knocked down the maple tree she'd planted when she moved in. That was after Lars had thrown Steve's good shoes out of the window, and Steve hadn't been able to see it as, well, just another boyish prank. But Lisa, look at her there, in the garden, staring at the flowers, as if she expects answers from them.
I can't even stand violence on TV. I close my eyes when there's blood and all that fighting and shooting, people shot down in the street. I used to make Lars turn it off. I wanted him to grow up peaceful. If we don't teach the kids... Steve felt differently. He bought Lars a pair of boxing gloves. He was all for knocking Lars down once or twice. Not with his full strength, he said, just to teach him to react. But I wouldn't let him.
Lars is in bed now. It's that pleasant time of the evening when a couple can talk softly and say nice romantic things to each other. Steve and Lisa, hand in hand, are walking around their house, admiring the things he's bought.
See the color in this picture?
Huh?
It changes in the light.
I like the green of this soapstone.
I'll try and get another piece like it.
Oh, we'll need more shelves.
I paid $600 for that. It's worth at least $9.
I polished the ivory with milk today. We're the only people on the street with a narwhal tusk.
Lisa was getting used to being surrounded by new state-of-the-art appliances and pretty bits of glassware and ornaments. Each object represented a fight between her and Steve. Still, she figured a lot of men wouldn't even say they were sorry.
I did give my wife everything she wanted. I spent hours choosing gifts for her. And she was pleased. In tears sometimes over some new thing I'd bought her. You see, Lisa was my first wife. Girlfriends I'd had, sure, dozens. But I really wanted to make this marriage work.
I'm truly not into violence. I like flowers, trees, stars. Butterflies, especially black and orange ones. I guess, though, I'd begun to feel weighed down by all those things he bought, as if there was no way I could ever pay him back.
So maybe I was old-fashioned. But the man has to be the provider. I provided. But all the same, there were times when I felt there was something else. Something missing. That I could have gift-wrapped the moon for her and had it delivered by coach and horses, and it wouldn't have been enough. But I kept on searching, shopping.
More coffee, Jen?
Thanks.
Seems kind of dull on Mackenzie Lane, doesn't it? No more running over to see what new thing he's bought.
There was something a little sick about all that buying of his, if you ask me.
Who's that going into number 14 now?
The real estate guy. With more clients. The nerve of him. He came over yesterday and asked me to stop gossiping to prospective buyers. Me! As if I would.
They find out soon enough. There he goes, smooth as cream. And what does he say when they ask about the stain on the wood?
Poor Lisa. Poor Lars.
I wanted to get something nice for the kid. It wasn't easy to like him, but I tried. I mean, what's to like? He's 4 foot tall. Got mean eyes. Puts greasy finger marks on the furniture. He's only got to look at an appliance and it stops working. Pow! Just like that. But anyway, he's Lisa's kid and I figure he's got to grow up his way. So, softly, softly. And I saw this bike in a store window. A junior hutch with cable brakes and removable pegs, gum wall tires, reflectorized pedals. I paid for it and loaded it in the car and took it right home. As usual, when the kid saw me driving up, he went skulking back into the house to his mom. I called him back outside. She came with him. I bought this for you, Lars.
Oh, Lars, isn't that fantastic?
Get on it, Lars.
Okay, come on.
Ride it. It's got a solid-state siren.
Say thank you to Steve.
Way to go, kid.
Oh, it's lovely, Steve. Look at him go.
I figured he'd like it. I didn't ask the kid to ride straight out into heavy traffic. Did I?
They didn't realize what a shock it was to us, too.
Mm-mm.
Nobody offered us any brandy. We saw the kid rush out.
On that brand new bike.
I was surprised how calm she was only a few days after.
There's little Lars, lying there, put back together, kind of. Angelic, dead. And she's standing by the body, holding Steve's hand.
If he hadn't bought the kid that bicycle, never gone into that cycle store,
they'd all still be living over there at number 14. So what's the use of saying that?
And Steve.
If Steve ever prayed, it was to that great wholesaler in the sky who'd said, "Let there be stores," and had also seen to it that those stores were filled with so many amazing and wonderful items, ranging from toothpicks to leather elephants which open into cocktail cabinets. He could see nothing wrong in the world which contained so many consumer goods, and he had money to buy them. He was also feeling immortal just then. Only 35 and miles of shopping aisles to cover before he fell prey to Alzheimer's or whatever it would be. And if he ever thought of dying, it was only to consider the type and quality of his coffin.
Mahogany. The whole thing dovetailed. Cost all of $6,000. Huge queen-size bed. Wardrobe you could stand up in. But beautiful. A whole French provincial bedroom suite in that dark red wood that glows. Well, I got the guys to come over and help me get rid of the old stuff and set this up while she was out of the house for a few hours. Well, I changed the clothes around and made up the new bed. Wanted to surprise her.
Hello?
Come up here a minute, honey.
Steve looked at his face in the mirror on the dresser and saw a kind and generous man with a large mouth and lots of dark hair. He had no fear of going bald. But when he noticed the look in his eyes, he turned away.
There, Lisa. Surprise! It's just like the one in the store. I know you felt badly about the kid, but life's got to go on. Well, the wood just needs rubbing over with. It's genuine mahogany. Come back and look. Oh, honey, please come back. Talk to me. Oh, here, honey. What are you doing? Lisa. No. Not a nail. In it.
This twin-bladed, rotating, stainless steel, electrically powered carving knife is ruined.
Not a nail in it.
Violence has never been my style. I'm an appeaser. It's always been my way to apologize, to give way to others. I was just stunned when that knife went right through him. It must have been a little painful for a few moments till it hit his heart. And there was all that blood. All over the blue and pink Tunisian rug hand-woven in Hammamet. And I didn't care. I watched the blood, his blood, pouring out over the centuries-old pattern known only to a few ancient craftsmen. It merged well with the soft-toned grays.
He bought me a mahogany bedroom suite to replace my son! My son!
If there's an appeal, they'll let her out.
I've never been able to figure out what she was guilty of.
Murder is all.
He had it coming.
He gave her everything.
Sure, he gave her everything. He never stopped to figure out what she really wanted.
And what was that since you're so smart this morning?
Same as everybody else. Love, I guess.
Oh, all that. Well, it's easier to go shopping, isn't it? Coffee's ready.
Ah. Do you think Lisa gets coffee where she is?
Instant, probably.
I can't get over her using that knife.
I guess no one had told Steve that old superstition about it being unlucky to give someone a sharp object as a gift without accepting some cash in exchange. At least he's made the final escape. Not quite the way he imagined. There are no stores where he is. No love, either. Lisa will be out soon. She won't move back to Mackenzie Lane. Too many awful memories. Meanwhile, she's almost happy where she is. For months now, no one has said to her, "Hey, Lisa, I've got a present for you," and then waited for her to be grateful.
Everything She Wants was written and narrated by Rachel Wyatt. The play starred Nikki Godagny as Lisa and Richard McMillan as Steve. Marianne Coles was featured as Evie, Linda Goranson as Jan, and Bill Johnston played the store owner. Original music for Escape Routes was composed by Wayne Kelso. Technical operations were by Glenn McLaughlin, and sound effects were provided by John Stewart and Jean Sarrazin. Casting consultant is Beth Russell, and series story editor is Sandra Rabinovich. Everything She Wants was produced and directed by Ken Gass of Studio G in Toronto. Executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Next week, tune in for part 3 of Escape Routes, Looking for a Quiet Place, starring Stephen Wimette and Karen Woolridge.